Right now, we're kind of doing this series where we're talking about how we should live in light of the election results. No matter what you voted or what side you voted on or whether you didn't vote or, you know, wherever you stand politically, what we've been talking about is that we as followers of Jesus should live differently. Like there should be something about us as Christians that's different from people that aren't Christians, that we should post online differently, that we should respond to others who vote differently than us differently, that we as followers of Jesus should be different because we're following Jesus. And so we've talked about a few different things. We've talked about how we should be people that are characterized by acceptance, that we accept other people, not because they're acceptable, but because Jesus has accepted us when we were unacceptable. We talked about last week how our lives should be characterized by serving others. When we see a need, we meet it. When something needs to be done, we do it. Not because somebody deserves to be served, but because we follow a Savior who came not to be served, but to serve. That we should use our freedom as followers of Jesus, not to indulge our sinful nature, but to serve others. Well, today, I'm just going to tell you, we're going to talk about something that's a little bit uncomfortable. I'm going to ask you a question. Think about this. Do you remember when you were a kid and your mom, your dad, or some other grown-up told you to do something and you just really didn't want to do? You knew you needed to do it, but you just didn't want to do it. Anybody have that, you know, remember back to those times? Remember how you felt at those times? They told you to do something and you didn't want to do it. You know, you needed to do it. Clean your room, you know, wipe up your spit off the sink in the bathroom, whatever it is. You know, they told you to do something. You knew you needed to do it and you just didn't want to do it and you felt that tension. Well, today is going to be a bit like that. Today, we're going to talk about a relational principle that none of us wants to talk about. And the reason why none of us wants to talk about it is because we just don't want to do what it is that we're going to talk about today. But as we're going to see, this is an immensely, hugely important relational principle because it reminds us that life is not about us. And if you think about it, that's where most of our relational strife comes from, right? From making things about us, from selfishness and self-centeredness and self-indulgence. That's where a lot of our relational problems come from. But we all know that life really isn't about us. But this principle goes even further because life isn't about those people that we're having trouble with, those people that we disagree with. In fact, life is about something a lot bigger than all of us, you or me or the people we disagree with. Today, we're going to talk about a word that's kind of, I call it the Christian S word. Here it is. Submit. We're going to talk about this word, submit. Now, I know when you hear the word submit, you probably, if you grew up in church, you've been in church for a while, you immediately jump back to that passage in Ephesians where it talks about wives submitting to their husbands and all that kind of stuff. We're not going to talk about that. Actually, we're going to look at the verse that's right before that, the verse that we skip over a lot of times because it makes people uncomfortable. But look at what Paul says in Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's read this out loud together. Here we go. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You read that like you were disgruntled that it's in the Bible. So let's do it one more time. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, the question we have to answer is, what does it mean to submit? I want to give you a definition of what it means to submit. I think so. Do we have Okay. To submit, it means to place yourself under or to place yourself in subjection to or to place oneself under the authority of another. Now, let's be honest. In light of this definition, this is why we don't want to do this, right? We don't want to submit ourselves to others. We don't want to put ourselves under the authority of somebody else. We don't want to put ourselves in subjection to somebody else. But that's what the word submit means. But I want to give you another definition that I think is a little bit easier to understand and really helps us to apply this relationally. Here it is. To submit, I am to put you first and you are to put me first. What it means to submit relationally is I'm to put you first and you are to put me first. Now, let's just be honest and say our problem with all of this is we just don't want to do this. Actually, we want other people to do this to us, right? I mean, we want other people to put us first, but we don't want to put somebody else first. We don't want to put ourselves in subjection or submission to somebody else. And the reason we don't want to do this is, well, we just don't want to get walked on. Right? I mean, we don't want somebody to take advantage of us. And some of you would admit that you've already tried this. You tried to put others first sometime in your life. And you know what? You ended up being a doormat. You ended up being used and abused, and you tried to submit, but you've come to the conclusion that, well, it just doesn't work. I didn't get anything out of it. It was a waste of my time. And that's why the second half of Paul's verse is so, so important. It's just like the previous things we've talked about. We don't accept other people because they're acceptable. We accept other people because Jesus has accepted us. We don't serve other people because they deserve to be served. We serve because Jesus first served us. And it's the same way with this whole principle of submission. Look at the verse again. Submit to one another. Why? Out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We are to put others first because it shows reverence and respect for Jesus. That is, if I put others first, even if I'm taken advantage of, even if somebody walks on top of me, I speak of the reverence, or I show reverence and awe to what Jesus did for me 2,000 years ago. See, I think the problem that a lot of us have, especially those of us who have been Christians for a long time, is that the reason we have a hard time submitting, the reason we have a hard time putting others first, is because we've forgotten what Jesus did for us. We've forgotten what he did on our behalf. And Paul tells us that he wants us to get into this habit of submitting to others, to saying to others, you're first, not because they deserve it, not because we're going to get something out of it, not because it works, but out of reverence for Jesus. It's because our focus should be on him. I want to look at another passage that kind of fleshes this out a little bit more. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to the book of Philippians. If you don't have a Bible and you have the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, you can pull that up under the events section. There are notes for today. We're going to put these up on the screen as well. But in this passage in Philippians, what Paul does, he expounds or really paints a picture of what it looks like for us to submit to one another. But then he does something really important. He connects submission to Jesus. He brings those two together and he gives us insight into what Jesus did when he submitted himself to us, when he put our needs ahead of his own needs and died on the cross for us. And what we're gonna see is that Jesus really is just asking us to do the same thing that he's done for us. He wants us to do for others just as he has done for us. So we're gonna start in verse 3. And we're going to kind of see a picture of what it means to submit to one another. Paul says this. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Now, notice that word nothing. It actually literally means nothing, okay? So all those little parts, well, I can be selfish in this area, but I won't be selfish anywhere else. Or, you know, no, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. This is a great picture of what it means to submit, that we are to consider the people around us as better than ourselves. Now, that doesn't mean they are better. We just consider them better than ourselves, and we treat them that way. Well, what does it mean to treat somebody better than you? I want you to think about it this way. Think about the person in the world that you have the utmost respect for. Could be a parent, could be a famous person, could be a politician, could be a teacher. I don't know. I don't know why I'd be a politician. But think about the person in the world that you have the utmost respect for. How would you treat that person if you were hanging out with them? That's how you're supposed to treat everybody. That's how we're supposed to treat everybody. So do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others as better than yourselves. Then he goes on, says this. He says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. That is, Paul says, it's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's about me putting my interest on hold for the good of others, about putting them first. That is a picture of what it means to submit, that I'm putting my interest and myself on hold for the good of others. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, well, I hear what you're saying. I hear what Paul's saying, but I'm not sure I can do this. I mean, this just seems like it's going to be difficult. And besides that, it's not even going to work. And you know what? You're probably right. It's probably not going to work. You're probably not going to get anything out of it. But remember, we don't submit to one another because it works. We don't submit to one another to get anything out of it. We submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, which is exactly where Paul goes next after he gives us this picture of what it looks like to submit. Look at this. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now, we could just close in prayer right here after this one. I mean, this is pretty clear. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now think about your attitude for just a minute. A little convicting, isn't it? I mean, some of you, your attitude on the way to church this morning was probably not like Jesus. You know, so your attitude this past week at work was probably not like Jesus. But in the Greek, this is a command here, that your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Have the same attitude that Jesus had, which leads us to ask, well, what kind of attitude did Jesus have? Well, Paul tells us, look at what he says in verse 6. He says, he's describing Jesus here, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped. What that means is that when Jesus was on the planet, he never pulled rank. Like, Jesus never played the God card. Like, even though he was God, he never stood up and say, okay, time out, guys. I'm God, I get to go first. He didn't do that. He didn't stand up and say, you know what, guys, I'm God. Could you just quiet down and listen to me for just a minute? Can you stop distracting? Stop digging a hole through the roof and dropping down lame guys. I mean, I'm trying to teach here, I'm God. Jesus could have done that, but he never did that. He just didn't. He didn't consider equality with God as something to be grasped or something to be leveraged for his benefit. That is, even though Jesus outranked everybody, he never leveraged that rank. So what did he do? He goes on, tells us what Jesus did. But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Some of your translations might use the word slave. That's actually a better translation here. He took on the nature of a slave, being made in human likeness. That is, Jesus, even though he had all the rights in the world, heck, he created the world, right? He set everything up. Even though he had all the rights in the world, instead of exercising his rights or claiming his rights or insisting on his rights, he showed up as a servant and literally emptied himself, became a slave. He emptied all of his rights as God, and then he leveraged all of his power as God, not for his own sake, but for the sake of people, for the sake of you, and for the sake of me. And what Paul says is, look, guys, this is the example that Jesus set for us. This is what Jesus did. And if you're gonna have the same attitude as Christ Jesus, you should be doing the same thing with yourself. You should be laying aside your rights. You should be putting your power and your rank behind you. You should be putting your rights behind you. And you should be putting others first, submitting to them. Why? Not because they deserve it, not because you're gonna get something out of it, but because that's what Jesus did for you and for me. Well, he goes on next and really answers the question that all of us kind of wonder. I hear what you're saying, Paul. I can agree with what Jesus did for me, and maybe I can follow his example, but I have a question. How far do you take this submitting thing? Like, how far do I go with this? Like, is there a line? Like, I submit up to a point? Like, how far am I supposed to go with this? Well, Paul answers that question by saying how far Jesus went in submitting himself to us and to the Father. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to what? Death. Became obedient to death, even death on a cross. How far did Jesus take this? All the way to death on a cross. And here's what I find incredible. What makes Jesus' death so powerful is that he allowed himself to be crucified. But not only did Jesus allow himself to be crucified, like he could have stopped, right? If you remember the conversation he had when they were arresting him in the Garden of Eden, he told him, look, I could call down 12 legions of angels and they could come and take all these guys out in an instant. But he didn't do that. He allowed himself to be crucified. But not only did he allow himself to be crucified, but he allowed himself to be crucified by the most horrific means possible on a cross, which was a terrible way to die, an awfully brutal way to die. And he did it. He allowed himself to be crucified for something that he didn't do. Jesus was sinless, but he allowed himself to be crucified for your sin and for my sin. He died on behalf of sinners. We're the ones that deserve to die, but Jesus took our place, right? That's how far he took this submission thing. So when you're thinking, I'm not sure I want to go any further with this, I'm not sure I want to actually do this, I keep putting them first and they just keep walking on me, I keep putting them first and I'm not getting anything out of it, I keep putting them first, I'm trying to do this, but it's just not working. Remember what Jesus did and how far he went for you. He took this all the way to the cross. That's how far he went to put your needs and my needs ahead of his own. And to make you us all a little more uncomfortable, think of it this way. Think about that person in your life. You all have somebody that you just can't get along with right now. That person that drives you crazy. That person that you're so grateful because of COVID because you don't have to see them this Thanksgiving. You know, think about that person. Get their picture in your mind right now. Jesus saw fit to put that person ahead of himself and to die for that person. Jesus saw fit to put that person ahead of himself and to die for that person. And he says to you and to me, out of respect for me, Jesus says, would you be willing to now put that person ahead of yourself? Not because of them, not because they deserve it, but out of reverence and respect for me, Jesus says, put them ahead of you. So how far do we take this thing? Well, Jesus took it as far as the cross. And then Paul concludes this section by really showing the results, the consequences of what happened when Jesus submitted himself the way that he did. And it's pretty incredible what happens. Look at verse 9. It says, therefore, God exalted him. After Jesus humbled himself to death on the cross, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In other words, what Paul is saying, look, something supernatural happened when Jesus submitted himself to you and to me and to the Father. Something supernatural happened and Jesus was exalted. Jesus was lifted up. And you know what? Something supernatural happens when you and I choose to put others first. When you and I choose to submit ourselves to others. That Jesus is lifted up. That we shine a light on Jesus. And let me just say, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're not, this is irrelevant to you, but if you're a follower of Jesus, I hope that you know that lifting Jesus up, that shining a light on Jesus is what your life is supposed to be all about. That everything you do should reflect well on your Savior. That you are an ambassador, a representative for Jesus, and that you exist to shine a light on Jesus so that others may know who he is and what he is like. And I think one of the best ways in our culture to shine a light on Jesus is to lay aside our rights, to put ourselves in the back seat, and to put others first, and to submit to the people that God has put in our lives. That we, as Christians, need to be people who are known for laying aside our rights, for laying aside our rank, for laying aside our me-first attitudes, and instead submitting to others. And we don't do it because they deserve it. We don't deserve it because we're going to get something out of it. No. Remember, it's not about you. It's not about me. We do this out of reverence for Christ, to shine the light on Jesus so that Jesus will be lifted up, so that everybody who's in your circle of influence, because you've got people in your circle of influence, you have people that are watching you, they see you, so that all of those people will know that Jesus is the Savior and the King of the world, and the King of the world because you have shined a light on Jesus, that they'll know who Jesus is and what he's like because of how you live. See, I think that when we submit, something really incredible happens. We actually open up a window for others to see Jesus in our lives. When we submit, when we put others first, we open up a window for others to see Jesus in our lives, which means the opposite is also true. When we don't put others first, when we put ourselves first, we're actually keeping people from seeing Jesus in our lives. When we're fighting for our rights and whatever, you know, our position, and we're putting ourselves first, we prevent people from seeing Jesus. And I know we're all guilty of that. But man, what if we instead would be known as a people who puts others first? And I know if we're honest, this is not something that we as Christians are known for in our culture. I mean, we're just not. But that's a shame, because like I said, we should be different. There should be something different about us. This is something we should be known for. And why should we be known for this? Because this is what Jesus was known for. Jesus was known as one who laid down his rights for you and for me. And we need to be ones who are known for submitting to one another, for putting the needs of others before our own needs, out of reverence for Christ. I think that this is such a powerful principle. This is such a powerful thing that we could do. That this is how we're really going to change our world. Not by focusing on us, but by putting others before ourselves. So that we can live the way God wants us to live. So the question, or the homework assignment that I have, because I got something I want you guys to do. I got two things I want you to do in light of what we talked about today. First, I want you to answer this question, the first question. How can you put someone first this week? This is a great week to put this into practice, right? You know, holidays, if you're one of those nutty people that, like my kids, that wants to go Black Friday shopping, you're going to have a lot of opportunity to put somebody first this week. So how can you put somebody first this week? What's something that you can do to put somebody first? I came up with a few ideas. Let the other person pick where to go to lunch. Maybe park further out if you go to the mall or somewhere, you know, the grocery store. Maybe you stop talking about what you deserve and your rights this week. Maybe you allow somebody else to dictate the conversation over Thanksgiving instead of yourself dictating the conversation over Thanksgiving. How can you put this in practice with someone this week? You're going to have an opportunity to, I promise. And then the second thing I want you to do is I want you to memorize Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, I know over the past few weeks, I've been giving you a lot of verses to memorize. And some of you, that's just kind of going in one ear and out the other. Others, you are kind of pushing back and say, well, I can't memorize anymore. You know, I can't even remember my kids' names. How can I memorize a Bible verse? That's me. But the truth is, there's such power in memorizing Scripture that we need to have our minds shaped by God's word. And I think the only way that we're going to have our minds shaped by God's word is if we spend some time memorizing it. And this is simple, right? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's not even that hard. It's a simple, easy verse. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I just wanted to remind you guys that there is a direct link between memorizing Scripture and not sinning. You know that? Some of you struggle with some sins and you keep coming back to the same sin over and over again. There's a direct link between Scripture memorization and not sinning. There's a direct link between Scripture memorization and knowing God's will. Some of you are like, I just want to know God's will. Memorize God's word and he'll reveal to you his will. There's a direct link there. There's a direct link between your Christ-likeness and Scripture memorization. If you want to be more like Jesus, you should probably memorize some ways that Jesus wants you to be. That's why this is so, so important. So let's read it together. Let's try and memorize it. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. One more time. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Can I tell you what I want for you guys? I don't want you to be walked on. I don't want you to be a doormat. I don't want people to use and abuse you. But you know what I do want? I want your life to exalt Jesus and to reflect Jesus. And I do not think that's going to happen if your life is all about you. But I think it will happen if you get in the habit of putting others before yourself, of submitting to one another, not because other people deserve it, not because you're going to get anything out of it, but out of reverence for Christ. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this this topic that we could talk about, that's something that we would rather not do because all of us have kind of a selfish or self-centered bent, but it's something that you modeled for us. Actually, Jesus, you were the perfect picture of submission. You submitted yourself to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane when you prayed, not my will, but your will be done. You knew what was coming. You knew that your death was going to happen in a brutal way the next day. And you said, not my will, but your will be done. And then you submitted yourself to us by actually allowing yourself to be crucified on our behalf. And we're so grateful. And we ask that you would forgive us for those times where we don't put others first, where we think about ourselves first. Forgive us for our selfishness and our self-centeredness and our pride, God. Would you give us the courage this week to put others first, to put ourselves in subjection to other people, to think about them before ourselves, so that you would be exalted and so that you would be glorified. And that's my prayer for us as a church family, that we would exist to exalt you and to glorify you so that other people may know who you are and what you're like. We love you. Thank you for setting an example for us to follow. Help us to live up to that. We need your help with that. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to give you guys an opportunity to respond by taking communion. If you're at home, I hope you have something to take communion with this morning. If you're in the room, we've got some little cups there. And just, you know, we take communion every week here to remind ourselves of what Jesus has done, which Paul said in verse 8. I'm going to reread it for you. Paul says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Every time we take communion together, we remind ourselves that Jesus set an example for us by obediently submitting himself to us and to the Father and offering his life as a sacrifice. And so we take the bread, which, you know, it's just bread, but it reminds us that Jesus' body was broken for us. So let's take and remember his sacrifice. And then we take the juice, which is just juice, but it reminds us that Jesus' blood was shed so that our sins could be forgiven and so that we could have a right and restored relationship with him. So let's take and remember. Let me pray for us. God, we're so thankful for you sending your son to die on the cross and to raise from the dead so that we could have a relationship with you. And we just remember that, and we're grateful. This week of Thanksgiving, our hearts are just overwhelmed with gratitude for what you've done for us. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for purpose in life. Thank you for hope and for joy and peace and all the gifts that you give. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.